There is merit to this argument, however, I believe that it is a bit short-sighted considering the fact that, I'm not sure if members of the SU are aware, schools of aerospace engineering exists. The BAE and indeed the sales group work closely with these schools, particularly providing placements for students. It would be a shame to put, to more or less put Queen's on a blacklist these organisations where students need their professional training, particularly in a field such as engineering. Why should we turn around and say, no, we have a political issue, so you're not going to receive your technological training?
Do you want to jump into this, then? Just out of curiosity, do you think at any stage a moral or political issue becomes overwhelming to the point where you didn't have to discontinue the partnership? So, I mean, for instance, if Queen's had a relationship with companies that sold the gas that killed my family in, like, the Holocaust camps, or, like, the kind of the weapons in South Africa, or the Junta's in South America that killed Stuart Genius, what exactly is the level to which, I mean, if you, I'm assuming you would accept that, like, we should have no partnership with some of these organisations. The question is, what is the line? Now, for those of us who are very much supporting the yes, well, that's from a personal level supporting the yes, obviously Genius and neutral in this. But for those who support the yes campaign, we are seeing that the crimes that they are committing now, the propping up of dictatorships and tyrants is outside of, like, it's not something that we personally believe in, and more to the point is that we believe that students who are going into these courses, as well as the academic staff who, like, are teaching the courses, should have a say in where these partnerships are being made, rather than those being dictated by management in the interest of profit. So we want to be able to make sure that these, so if, do you know what, like, if it's democratically decided, and it's democratically decided that they want to reinvest in those partnerships, then they will be able to do so based on the democratic mandate. Hopefully, like, obviously the idea is that they don't, but the idea is that we're solidifying democracy. We are not living under the dictatorship of capital. We are not funding arms, military exploitation, occupation, colonization, and mass murder in the interest of Queen's University Belfast's profit. But we're doing it in the democratic interest of the students and the staff who constitute the actual lifeblood of the university.
Anyone else on this? Andrew?
Can I just ask a clarifying question before I carry on? Is this just demilitarisation of companies? Is it, you know, or is it, or is it sort of across the board, or is it just sort of on a technological basis? Because the one thing I would argue on the company front is that what you've got to remember is, like, a big employer for engineers in Northern Ireland is Shorts, now owned by Towers. And just to make a point of good that company's done, and the Star Street missile system was designed, built in Northern Ireland, now in use in Ukraine, and it's one of the reasons why the Russians have been limited with their use of it. It's designed to destroy Russian attack helicopters, that's its sole purpose. And that's one of the reasons why the Russians have been limited in terms of their ability to use that asset over there. And there are other weapon systems like that that are being used in conflicts that have been designed and made by engineers over here because of partnerships with Queen's, as to where they get all their top quality engineers from. And that is allowing them to provide excellent product to provide defence for a nation that is trying to defend itself.
I'll go to Fintan again.
First of that, I think, and continuing on from Aidan's point, there is a clear line between defence and violence. If we're to consider the primary work of BAE, and indeed Shorts, it is producing machines for the MOD, for the Royal Navy and such, that are providing humanitarian support. This, unfortunately, due to the human nature, has led to that sometimes you do need to point a gun at somebody in order to make them comply. If we are to suggest that these students and the staff are to be turning away from doing work of national importance by playing their part in designing this technology, are we pulling away a unique opportunity? Indeed, are we, even this vote alone will make, this existence of the vote will make BAE shudder. The fact that they're losing out on high quality engineers simply because the SU has put up a lefty stance. I just wish for the student union just to, before the brunt of the campaign comes in, is to really consider the impact that it will have on these students on their professional training, even if they aren't going to enter the defence industry afterwards. the placement alone is enough of a is enough of a basis to simply understand engineering as a concept, not necessarily the defence industry.
Do we have a new piece of private members business, just Ryan?
Okay. It's a new piece of private members business, but because the piece of private members business that I proposed before had very much the general view was very much one way, and I just noticed that Mr. Luke McGuire is in the fourth room, who's tested by Ryan Allen. So I just think that we should get Luke's perspective on the death of Henry Kissinger.
Okay, and then we'll move on. And then we'll move on.
Only great men that to the age of 104. Gore himself saw fit to help this great man to do great works for the world. This man loved democracy. He loved humanitarian causes. He loved political stability of other small nations.
Oh, fuck.
I would just like to remind everybody, there's some things that people say about him. He's a funny man. But just remember, Henry Kissinger did nothing to me.
Now we move on to President's Questions, where you have 5 minutes to ask me anything you want, as long as it's not political. Max?
What's your Spotify like?
I don't use Spotify music, I use Amazon music, so I don't have a Spotify route. Yeah. Do we have another question? Ryan?
Do you have breakfast
before? Oh, I'll be a different
one. I had Weetabix, and they were nice, I don't know. Do we have another question? Oh, Fenton?
What is your view on the death of Shane McGowan?
Very sad? Yeah, I mean, he didn't do much anymore. He kind of just sat around and drank and laughed really weirdly. But yeah, kind of sad. Why is everyone talking?
You said earlier we're not going to the post house, so...
Oh yeah, we're not going to the post house anymore. We're going to Lavery's because the post house is really, really cold and we all have to sit outside, whereas in Lavery's we get to sit inside in the warmth or to stand inside in the warmth.
It's Warren.
Graham.
Thank you.
Ryan?
On the last point about the move back from the post house to Lavery's, prices of pints,
So basically what we plan to do is in the new year go back to the post house eventually when we could try like get a room booked or something like that. But just for now, go to Lavery's because it's warmer. Matthew?
I have missed the past few meetings for which I apologize. The last meeting I did go to was one that we went to Lavery's, and as such, I haven't been to the post house yet. What's it like in there?
There's like a bar, there's chairs, and some of the chairs are outside, some are inside, and we sit at the ones outside, and it's really cold. There's not much more I can say. Do we have any other questions? Okay, Vincent.
Do the post house serve physics?
I don't know. I haven't asked.
Okay.
Someone else can ask. Do you have another question, or can we move on? Yeah. And now we will move on to the. We're missing two.
Can we have a World Cup debate?
Yes. Where did they all go? Why did everyone leave? Oh God. I mean, they're going to be coming back as long as the first speaker is here, which he is. We can move on. Okay, we'll move on to the vote of prior opinion. If you agree with the proposition tonight, you do regret the Industrial Revolution, please raise your hand now.
Yeah.
Six.
James!
Eight? No, seven. Seven? Yeah. Okay, and if you side with the opposition tonight, you do not regret the Industrial Revolution. Please raise your hand now.
Do not forget
capitalism.
Oh, no.
Two.
How have
we ever had this?
Three.
No, more ladies, that's still happening. That's
horrible. Yes. 18. If you'd like to abstain, please raise your hand now. 4. 4. Mr. Secretary, can I please have the vote of prayer?
Yes. There were 10 votes for aye, 16 votes for nay, and 2 people can't decide the like the heat being on or off. So I'm not even sure what constituency would be. East Antrim margin, the opposition has it.
And before we start, I'd like to read out the rules of debate. Each order, please. Everyone quiet. Each speech is 7 minutes long. The first and last minute are projected time, which will be signalled by the bell that was just rung. Meaning you can only POI people in the middle 5 minutes. To POI, raise your hand and say point of information on that point or POI. Please keep your POIs to 10 seconds and no barking, meaning wait at least 15 seconds after giving a POI to give another one. Also, very importantly, no back and forth. If you need to leave the room at any time, please do so quietly and don't talk outside because the noise does travel. And lastly, no swearing. If you do swear, we will fine you a bottle of port. And with that, I would like to welcome Luke Duffy up to open the boxes.
Good evening, how are you all doing? Right, the Industrial Revolution has been a tragic misstep for mankind. What started out as a period of increased productivity in British textile manufacturing has became an era of worldwide technological advancement never seen before. Economic historians such as Douglas North have stated that the Industrial Revolution is second only to the invention of farming in terms of its historical importance. Other things such as the internet and the atomic bomb are down the list, as they're both consequences themselves of the Industrial Revolution. The historical significance of the Industrial Revolution isn't up for debate. We all know that. What we're actually here to debate is whether or not it was a good thing. Joseph Stalin was historically significant, but was he a positive for humanity? Well, I suppose there's a few tankies who are going to say aye, but anyway. The Industrial Revolution has been beneficial for a select few, but for the rest of us, it's been apocalyptic. Let's begin by looking at human health. The International Journal of Paleopathology doesn't have many good things to say about the Industrial Revolution. Before going any further, I'll probably say that I didn't know what paleopathology was until last week, but in short, it's the study of historic diseases using both written records and organic remains. Paleopathologists are able to graph a huge spike in variation and severity of diseases that affect humans around the time of the early 19th century, which is to say, the time of the Industrial Revolution. And it's easy to see why. Towns all over the world started getting bigger as people moved to them to work in the factories. These urban centres were cramped and unhygienic, so diseases like cholera and typhus flourished. Living in cramped conditions like rats made the world of the Industrial Revolution the last place that any sane person would want to live in. Come to think of it, rats make a good case study for looking at the Industrial Revolution, a point I'll come back to in a minute. As I mentioned before, the overcrowding of cities led to a huge increase in diseases and other problems for our physical health, but maybe this overcrowding had even worse effects on our mental health. Zoologists in the 60s conducted experiments on groups of rats in enclosed spaces. The rats were given unlimited access to food and water, and as was expected, the population boomed, like that of our own species during the Industrial Revolution. However, the zoologists noticed this overcrowding produced negative behavioural problems, or if it was applied to humans, what we might call a mental health epidemic. The rats became far more aggressive to each other. Male and female rats, while still physically able to reproduce, lost the social skills for courting each other. Other rats became isolated and withdrawn, only coming out to eat or drink when the other rats were asleep. I asked the house, is this not like any modern industrial city? If you've ever walked through a big city, New York, London, and felt an uneasiness you couldn't quite describe, let me reassure you, the problem isn't you, it's the rest of the world. You're just a social animal reacting to overcrowding. Your animal instincts know something isn't right, and the legacy of the Industrial Revolution is that something. Sure, go ahead.
Is this not more of an issue with urbanisation than the Industrial Revolution itself?
Well, the urbanisation itself was a consequence of the Industrial Revolution. The cities got bigger as people started to move them to work in the factories. Another disaster that came about because of the Industrial Revolution is the spread of a sedentary lifestyle for millions of people. Tasks that were once done by hand were now done by machines, and our species became far less physically active. I mean, obesity, that's an obvious consequence of this, but the lack of physical activity has perhaps even deeper psychological effects. Paradoxically, a sedentary lifestyle makes you fatigued. Physical activity causes the brain to release endorphins. Endorphins boost your mood, relief and relieve pain, so if you don't move, you get tired. We live in a world produced by the Industrial Revolution. We're far more tired than our ancestors would have been despite being far less physically active. Something's not right there. Not content with ruining our lives with diseases and mental health problems that were unknown to our primitive ancestors, the Industrial Revolution has also ruined the food we eat. The industrialisation of food has given health problems to everyone in this room, whether you know it or not. The microplastics that come from our food packaging disrupt our hormones, which has reduced our species' fertility. Liane Kilpatrick, who's an American hormone specialist, recommends several lifestyle changes to avoid these harmful microplastics, such as building houses out of wood and stone, throwing out your Teflon pans, not using plastic bags, stuff like that. Using natural materials, traditional cookware, and no plastic bags, it's almost as if the Industrial Revolution has been a bad thing for us. As well as this, food colourings such as tetrazine and quinoline yellow provoke many of the same symptoms as ADHD, which some researchers believe is the cause of an overdiagnosis of that condition for many people. Both these food colourings are regularly used in sweets, soft drinks. The Industrial Revolution is poisoning us. I'm sure the opposition are going to tell us all about the wonders of the Industrial Revolution. They'll tell us that the Industrial Revolution made us safer and more prosperous. They'll tell us that the medical innovations produced by the Industrial Revolution have made us healthier than ever before. But I ask the House to be wary, because like a gangster or a paramilitary demanding protection money, the problems that the Industrial Revolution claims to have solved were in fact created by the Industrial Revolution itself. To give just one example, the Industrial Revolution gave us the weekend, but only after it took away the weeks of time off enjoyed each year by your average medieval peasant. As I conclude, I ask the House to keep this question in mind. Whatever aspect of your life has been improved by the Industrial Revolution, is there not 10 or more areas that have been worsened? Thank you.
So, good evening, everybody. Blut ist ein ganz besonderes Saft. Yeah? So, the previous speech that we've just heard harkens back to a time when we were all wonderful agrarian serfs running about singing Jerusalem in the fields. Yes, there has been complications arising from population density. I'm not sure if anybody has been in the countryside. I'm from there. It's not a great place. Something that I've noticed about living in a city such as Belfast is that coffee, sex and conversation are far more likely than in the rural fields of Kildare. I'm going to raise the point to you, first of all, is just look at the mathematics of things. Calories consumed. We quite like food. In a previous motion, in fact, a wonderful product of the Industrial Revolution, Jaffa cakes were mentioned. So if we look at the food available, suddenly, due to industrial farming methods, brought on by originally by textile production, then applying the same processes into, say, sorting wheat from chaff, and later on into milling and producing cereals, we now have more food available to us than ever before. Those that would previously have been starving in a pre-industrial civilization have food available to them. Yes, it is more processed. However, I would agree, I think you'd all agree, having something in your stomach is better than having nothing in your stomach. Goethe once said about the wonderful things that is the Industrial Revolution, that nicht Kunst und Wissenschaft allein geduldet wird bei deinem Werke sein. Neither art or science.
On that choice.
Yes.
Can the house please translate?
Yes, I was just. Neither work nor science alone can alone. Patience is what we need, and that's exactly what we have seen. The hard work and labour of humanity since its dawn has come to a fore. We are now in a world where we are indeed in less a labour of the body and more a labour of the mind. This comes on to the idea of creative destruction. As Terence O'Neill said, creative destruction relies on the fact that, yes, the past has been destroyed. However, as we continue to improve, generating new and more interesting realities, the trend is going upwards. The graph, you see, the hockey stick, of course, it is relating to carbon production. Indeed, but however, the issues that we have come from this are indeed, may well be a product of the Industrial Revolution. However, humans were fucking up the world before... before the Industrial Revolution. I do remind you that there was once woolly mammoth and Irish elk and all sorts of wonderful creatures about the earth before we decided we're rather hungry and we ought to kill them. So I'm rather hungry, I ought to burn this coal. In fact, there's quite a lot of people hungry over there in London and I'm here in Liverpool, so I'm going to build a railway. And I'm going to move all that lamb and all that mutton, and next thing you know, people are no longer starving. On the whole, life has gotten better. We have now iPhones and Hornby and Jaffa cakes and your glasses, all as a result of the Industrial Revolution. We've allowed us all to live more, slightly more free lives than that of before. It is now no longer a given that the life of your father or life of your mother will be the same as your life. You now have the opportunity to come to university. In fact, this university was built initially in 1848, which I remind you is in the heyday of the Industrial Revolution. The red brick is somewhat a symbol of that. You look at the mills across northeast England, the Industrial Revolution lives on in that sense. Brunel, Stevenson, Watt, Gauss, Hertz, Siemens are all these giants that have changed the world measurably. Without these things, we're doomed to a life that was short, a life that was on the whole less fulfilling whilst we sat in our fields, once more, seeing Jerusalem.
On that point?
Yes.
Is it more fulfilling for a manufacturer?
No, but you're discussing the weekdays off, yes? Indeed, the weekend is a product of this. However, the weeks off were spent sitting in fields, playing poker. Now, as I reminded you at the start of my speech, coffee, sex, and conversation are far more interesting.
On that point.
No, can I please finish? Are far more likely in an area that's population dense. Allowing for us to sit down and indeed go and experience something new, go to sit in a library. Libraries weren't exactly common. Neither was literacy, mind you. Indeed, literacy, you will argue that literacy was only brought forward in order so that people could read their paychecks and exploit the masses. But that's very Marxist, and I don't like that. What the proposition argues is that socialists don't want people to choose because they might not choose socialism. It's in this case, agrarianism. In the great words that were immortalized by Margaret Thatcher, I'm expecting. Thank God I got claps last time I was booed out of the place from my room. We're allowing ourselves to have a much more free life. Despite we are bound by our work, but that is indeed something that we were always bound by. Whether that be by hunting, whether that be by tilling the fields, we are continually bound by having to do something. That is what we get bored. And in fact, having the opportunity to go study, to go explore, is now far more likely. And I remind you that up until the 1840s, it wasn't reasonable that somebody would travel 100 miles from their home place. They would sit, they'd be in their area. They'd know their area like the back of their hand. However, they would never have gotten to see Germany. They'd never gotten to see any number of the great cities of the world. Never gotten the chance to read Goethe or listen to the speeches of Margaret Thatcher. It sets a precedent that if we are to sit there and say, actually, I don't want this, is to say, I want to live in a world that's narrow, a world that is somewhat smaller, and indeed altogether less exciting. And I put it to the members of the House, is that your exhaustion and frustrations with the modern world are less about the existence of the world around us, but rather one needing to catch up, to catch themselves on and see what's around, as opposed to sitting there in their fields, singing hymns and listening to the Pope. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to first just say coffee, sex, and one other third thing. Cringe. I want to sit in the field and play poker. Thank you very much. But besides that, I just want to talk about the fact, oh yes, because everyone who was being paid less than minimum wage in a factory job in which they were likely to lose a limb or a hand was able to visit Germany, and that definitely wasn't sincerely relegated to only the factory owners of those factories and the incredibly slim middle class, Fenton, very well done. In terms of actually the progress of the Industrial Revolution, a wise man once said that the Industrial Revolution and its consequences might not have been the most beneficial thing for the human race. I just wanted him out. But am I going to sit here and claim Luddism and say all technology is bad? No. Technology has granted a few things, and I'm not about to ditch the wheel. However, we also have to recognize that practically the Industrial Revolution, it is regrettable not due to the advancements it made in technology, but in the pursuit of those advancements, what it did to society and the fact that it went too fast. Now, obviously, a large amount of the advancements in technology were driven by the sole goal of progress. And a very good quote from the film Jurassic Park honestly sums up my theory. You thought so much about what if you could, you didn't think about what if you should. And a lot of the institutions that were established during the Industrial Revolution to fund the progress in the grinding gears of industry have led disastrous impacts on the world as a whole. Institutions such as colonialism, institutions such as widespread globalized slavery, were established in order to fuel the funds of machinery. The British Raj, for example, was used as exploited for textiles and linen to then be sold and fuel the British factories at home and domestically. For example, the entire rush for Africa and the spawn of nationalism and jingoism as industrial states competed for superiority against each other, these were directly driven and fueled by the Industrial Revolution and its consequences. Am I going to say that textiles are bad and I don't like linen? No. But from a practical perspective, the focus on revolution in such a short span of time, yes, we doubled our industry and we made massive advancements. Yes.
Short span of time. What span of time?
Probably close to around 100 years. But the thing is that what was the cost of those 100 years? We had massive famines, we had massive wars, directly led to the single most destructive period of human history ever designed, which was the First and Second World War. I think that's barracking. And as a result, we led to a large amount of human suffering for the progress of, admittedly, the benefit of very few people. For example, going back to a point made by the wonderful first speaker in the opposition, workers were fiercely dealt with epidemics like Gossy Jaw and the like, cholera, pneumonia. Diseases that never existed prior to the Industrial Revolution became widespread and seriously debilitated health. Yes, the Black Death existed, but equally, plagues and epidemics skyrocketed in numbers whenever the Industrial Revolution took place due to the rampant urbanization. Now, if we had taken the time to gradually invent things, not go straight for a revolution, but instead for a slower approach to actually take the time to figure out the ethics and the morality of the systems that we were establishing, how they fit into the pre-existing societies and gradually develop akin to the Renaissance period, which admittedly was fast, but nowhere to near this extent, we could have gotten to where we are now, not necessarily without costing human misery, yes.
But does that not undermine the entire process of engineering?
No, but how does it undermine the process of engineering? I'm not saying the process of invention is inherently flawed and we should never do it. I'm saying the flaw with the Industrial Revolution and why we should regret its existence is that the fuel of pursuing engineering, no matter the cost, all the time, not standing to think about what the impact would be having on society as a whole, was what the problem is and is what we should be regretting here. We're not necessarily saying in the Ted Kaczynski that we need to live like cavemen sitting in a field with no wheels, throwing rocks at each other. We're saying that we should regret the fact that we ran with it down the cliff, not realizing the cliff was even there, pushing people off and just about scraping by with the skin of our teeth and going, oh yeah, no, well, actually, we found a nice pile of shiny coins here. It's not that bad, is it? But yeah, so realistically, we should be regretting the fact that we were rushing into it.
On that point?
Sure.
So you've talked about how you think the bad thing is rushing into it. But you also talked earlier about how if one country didn't industrialize, they'd be left behind by the other countries. So do you really think there was a realistic alternative to the rushing into the industrialization, given that competitivity that you're talking about?
Yeah, I mentioned it in my speech. We should have been more gradually pursuing this innovation. The problem with the Industrial Revolution, as I've been saying throughout this entire speech, is that it was too fast. We needed to not take 100 years, but gradually develop over 200 or 300. Because the problem is that we basically jumped from a society that was stabbing each other with swords to basically industrialized murder through the invention of Gatling guns, naval cannons, and all the hat jazz and funny stuff that we kind of like in Waterloo, but realistically, we never developed the theory of ethics surrounding it, which is the inherent problem. And so as a result, I don't think the opposition can really claim that that's was ever implemented in the first place. And that's the reason why I would regret the Industrial Revolution. And I hope that has convinced you guys on why we should. And as a result, I would encourage this House, in all of its entirety, to regret the Industrial Revolution. Thank you.
Good evening, comrades and infidels. I stand here today to speak on an important subject, the second most revolutionary force in all of human history. The first, of course, being education. But considering the tenor of the proposition's arguments, I might need to reconsider that. The proposition, by means of trite eco-fascism, will try to propagate the tired notions of an MKUltra anonymous poster. The Industrial Revolution and its consequences of blah, 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 blah. We get it. The Luddites before you would do away with technological progress, social progress, and the abundance of the last few hundred years, all for the sake of being edgy. They will hearken us back to a land before time in which dinosaurs talked and trees existed only to be hugged. But ask yourself, would you really want to live in a time before the Industrial Revolution? What really came before? The historical materialists among you will have no trouble in recognizing the cuckolds to feudalism that sit before you now. Consistently fetishizing a time where the nearest lord of the land could enact prima nocta, steal your miserly coin pouch, and force you to die in a war because a guy in a pointy hat says the king deserves can't have a divorce.
On that point?
No.
That's not blasphemy.
Okay. Put simply, a time before rights. The serfs among us will wax poetical about working the land as an honest day's labour. But of course, the land belongs to me lord, as does me soul. Now, for all of our criticisms of capitalism, leftists fundamentally understand the need for technological progress as a means of disseminating power from the few to the many. It was not by the good graces of feudal lords that rights and social and economic mobility were enshrined, but by the ever-growing power of the mercantile class forcing the lords to seize their divine rights or face death.
On that point?
I got the divine right up here. The graph of social progress is not a smooth line trending upwards, but rather a jagged bolt of contradictions that are forced to be reconciled by class conflict. Contradictions that arise from our relationship to the means of production. The capitalism that emerged from the Industrial Revolution, while still undeniably exploitative, brought with it the socialization of labor and the means of achieving a post-scarcity society. For those that regret the Industrial Revolution, they are really saying they regret progress and embrace stagnation. To regret progress for being imperfect is a unique form of moral cowardice. It is to say that if I can't have it all, then I wish for nothing at all.
On that point?
Nah. Instead of seeking to improve conditions and acknowledge the rocky historical foundations we seek to build upon, the proposition would have us stay in the dark ages for it fears that phones might make us sad. I implore you all not to look back in anger, but to look forward in hope. For what comes next? History does not end with the Industrial Revolution and modern day capitalism. This is only the beginning, only the foundations for the society that is to come next. Fully automated, luxury, gay, space communism. Let us go boldly where no one has gone before. The Industrial Revolution has given us the material conditions to craft a society free from want, free from exploitation, free from the tyranny of the few. By claiming mastery of the technology before us, we become masters of our own fate. There is a dark path that could be trodden. It must be acknowledged. A path where the technology becomes the master of us. Neo-feudalism. 100 years ago, John Maynard Keynes predicted that as a result of technological improvements and efficiencies in production methods, the average person would, by now, in the present, be working only 13 hours a week. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but this is not the case. Our productive capacity has increased, yet our workloads have too. Why have we become slaves to machines when we should rightfully be masters? Because we didn't learn the lessons. Because we stopped at the Industrial Revolution when we were meant to have another continuous revolution. Technology is the means to make our lives easier, not harder. And those that spend their days in a malaise going, woe is me, I regret the Industrial Revolution because it means I get rejected at the flick of a thumb. Learn the lessons, my friend. Do not regret revolution. Embrace revolution. For it is the only thing that can save us. Vote against this motion.
So, I'm a bit annoyed because, well, you didn't put on the disgraceful. Sad just sort of stolen my pretending to be a socialist shtick. But what I would say is that Sad is actually sold out. He pretends to be a radical socialist, but he knows that what he's proposing is impossible. And my argument tonight is that the opposition is actually in the pocket of big oil, and it's presenting a rosy view of the Industrial Revolution in order to phase you and make you think that it was better than it actually was. And you just look at some of the consequences of the Industrial Revolution that we've talked about tonight. So we've had talk about this increase in density of population, and I think fundamentally the premise of my argument tonight is that human beings are bad, are terrible, and that, look at this graph. This is the world population from like time immemorial up until the Industrial Revolution.
Mr. Holly.
Hello.
Are you merely suggesting that instead of regretting the Industrial Revolution, you're regretting the existence of humanity?
Partially, yes. Because in the good old days, you were born, you were poor,
you got ill, and you died. And then the Industrial Revolution came along and screwed things up. And now, as the first proposition speaker has said, we're all so densely populated, there's more of us, we're destroying the planet. There wasn't even a mention of climate change in Sanjay's speech because he is in the pocket of big oil. And he's using this revolutionary communist, I like the gay part, not the luxury communism part, in order to fool you and put a good spin on the Industrial Revolution. Now, we've had the talk of sex and coffee, but are sex and coffee a good thing? I think Luke would agree as well. And we also had some Pope bashing on from Fintan's speech.
On my face.
Which is disgraceful. And then also Fintan talked about what they got to visit Germany. Oh yes, they did get to visit Germany, but it was in a trench. And obviously... and obviously... And the other point I'd make as well is that then Saj also raised that there were wars in the past, but I would rather have died in a war fighting for a king who was divinely inspired, ruled by right.
What about a queen?
Does that undermine my key of Kildare?
Was that a point of information? Go ahead for the point.
Does that undermine my ordination as the Bishop of Kildare?
He doesn't understand the meme.
I don't understand the meme. I've not been around enough this semester to understand the meme of your current title. But anyway, so basically the reason you should vote for the proposition tonight is because they're all pro-climate change, pro-alienation from our work that has come about as a result of the Industrial Revolution, pro-colonialism that came about as a result of the Industrial Revolution. As we've clearly laid out, because of the explosion in the population, human beings are inherently bad and we're destroying the planet. In order to fix climate change, we need a eco-socialist counter-revolution to the Industrial Revolution and go back to how we were living before.
On that point?
I'll go for Jonathan, you give me too many points.
So we've been talking about Kissinger earlier, and so I wonder what your thoughts were about the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia.
Well, he was trying to depopulate. That was part of the... Kissinger was actually trying to fight against climate change.
You need these for Paul
Hans. So, our industrial... so basically, we need a counter-revolution to the Industrial Revolution to go back to... The position that existed before, where we all lived on farms, we went out in the morning, we got a good day's exercise. The exercise point's a good one. I set a computer all day, and it's destroying my health. I'm always tired. So this is the core reasons why we should vote with the proposition tonight, in regretting the Industrial Revolution, because humanity is bad. The planet is being destroyed, and we're all sad, alienated, alone, and just addicted to coffee and sex. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the House. I feel as though the third speaker for the proposition has sort of summed up our argument for us. Basically, if you don't like yourself, if you don't like humans and you want to kill yourself, vote for them. But if you're sensible, vote for us. If you understand you're living in the good age, probably the best age that humans have ever lived in, vote for the opposition. Okay, right, let's get started. Mr. Duffy, first speaker of the proposition. He talked about historic diseases as a result of the Industrial Revolution. He talked about rats. Rats existed before the Industrial Revolution. Rats were a major problem before the Industrial Revolution. Need I bring up the bubonic plague spread by rats? And speaking of the bubonic pneumonic plagues as well, why are they not such an issue nowadays in our society? Why are they no longer such a major issue? We have better nutrition. It's the same with leprosy. There are many diseases just because we are able to eat better as the first a member of the opposition pointed out, because we were to eat better and more, our diseases are not as bad. And you're able to survive. No. Vaccines as well. Vaccines are a result of the Industrial Revolution, have come about from the Industrial Revolution during these times. Consequently, we were able to vaccinate against diseases. Really, what the first speaker kept on going on and on about was negative consequences of the Industrial Revolution. He's right, there were negative consequences. There's no denying that. But the problems of the Industrial Revolution are far better, and were far better, than the problems prior to the Industrial Revolution. You would far rather have an obesity problem than a starvation problem, when famines existed before that. I'm seeing people look at me weird, like, would you? Would you? Well, ask you this, if you're obese, you will live longer, we can do something about that. If you are starving, you have, what, a few months, and then Bob's your uncle. If I'm going to get medically correct as to how long you have to live, can we just move past that? We know that you have, at best, a few months. Yes, there's conflation between bad aspects equal bad everything. There are bad things to everything. There are also positives, and the positives far outweigh things. He said, be wary, I'd be wary of this conflation. But we shall move on to the second. To the second proposition. He mentioned Germany. He mentioned other nations as well, but let's just touch on Germany. Germany is a nation as a result of the Industrial Revolution. Before that, it was 390 states subdivided. Give me a moment to finish the point. God damn it, the point hasn't been made. I think Carl might be Blackwell said it was coal and iron, based off Bismarck's famous fleet, Blut und Eisen. But it was coal and iron that united Germany. It was the railroads that united Germany. So if you want to talk about these nations and their negatives, they were only there because of the Industrial Revolution. Let's just move on. Colonization! Sorry, I will retract that last statement. The nation was formed as a result. Just give me a moment, I'm getting a bit heated. Come on. It's a good night, I'm excited, this has been a great debate. Right, come on. Let's get this ball rolling. Right, okay, colonialism he mentioned. Colonialism existed before the Industrial Revolution. It has existed for a long time. You could argue that the colonialism that he mentioned started in the late 1600s even. But the subjugation of humans has existed for centuries before the Industrial Revolution. To lay it on the doorstep of the Industrial Revolution is a bit like me laying a murder that's happening down the road now on your doorstep this evening. I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I'm tempted. And in 100... and he mentioned it was 100 years. And then precisely after mentioning that the Industrial Revolution was roughly 100 years, he mentioned bloody World War I, which is... Why? Because the Industrial Revolution began in the mid-1700s, late 1700s, so you cannot have your cake and eat it. You cannot talk about the bad things about the world wars and then say the Industrial Revolution was 100 years so you can confine the argument. This is the proposition's problem. They want to eat their cake. They want to be able to say the Industrial Revolution was bad, 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 and look at all the long-term bad, but they don't want to talk about the long-term good, because if we talk about the long-term good, everyone will start to realise we are able to eat. We're sitting inside a nice warm room this evening on nice lovely chairs with nice tables, all as a result, thanks to the Industrial Revolution.
On that point?
Yeah, I'll lie.
So are you saying that no house was ever heated in human history prior to the Industrial Revolution, that chairs didn't exist?
No. Okay. It's a good point. I'll take it. They existed, but they would have been for a sec few. Heating in particular is a massive issue. Heating, people dying off the cold was a massive issue for hundreds of years. The Industrial Revolution has made that a far less problem. It's still a problem. It's still a problem that we have in our society today. But again, less of a problem. And he talked about, this is the big thing to remember. They talk about ethics and morality. See, whenever they talk about ethics and morality, some of these ethics and moralities can only be conceptualized as a result of the Industrial Revolution. Workers' rights? The fuck is that? Until the Industrial Revolution. My apologies, Madam President. But Look, the ideas of socialism, of Marx, of the people that came afterwards, these ideas can only come about if they can understand the conceptualization of what the Industrial Revolution would do. It's unfathomable until it happens. And to presume that it could be fathomed before these progresses have been made is, we can barely predict what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 10 years from now. And you're asking people back then to predict what these revolutionary technologies will do. It's naive to consider. It's naive. But I think I'll wrap up really with the third member of the proposition. Because, you know, he admitted that he regrets the existence of humanity. And I think that sums it all up. If you hate life because you're an ungrateful crackhead. Vote for them. If you're an ungrateful fool, vote for them. If you're high as a kite and you don't realize that you're living in the best possible situation you could be because you have been born, so many of you would have already been dead, all of your brothers and sisters would be dead, of those of you that would be sitting in this room if you had been born before the Industrial Revolution. If you're sensible in that case, you vote for us. If you understand how good you have it, you vote for us. So crackheads to that side, everyone sensible over there.
Round of applause for our maiden speaker. And we'll move on to questions.
Point of clarification, I am not addicted to crack.
It's just like
I dabble.
Hold on. Okay, so we'll move on to questions. So how these work is that I will ask a question for the proposition. One person from the proposition can respond, and then one person from the opposition, and we'll go back and forth between that. Anyway, do we have a question for the proposition? Slow down. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, so, just to expand on my POI during the final speech, what is the view of the proposition on the reign of Cambodia that the Khmer Rouge had, which in trying to become an agrarian society.
Just like me, he's wearing glasses.
What's the terrible effect of the Industrial Revolution? They killed everyone with glasses who was foreign, who was disabled, who could read, who could speak another language. Pretty much everyone who was alive, to be fair.
Well, actually, I'll take that. And I'll point out the fact that the Khmer Rouge is officially a communist organization. And actually, the final speaker from the opposition summed it up quite well in the fact that we wouldn't have had the ideology of communism before the Industrial Revolution. So I think the opposition has accidentally shot themselves. Not necessarily because they wear glasses, but just in the foot in
general. Opposition to respond to that?
Can I? What I was trying to get at was that actually, you were talking about use of works around stuff, and sort of the more moderate versions of these ideas that developed as a model of that work, I mean, I didn't get into the middle of Disraeli for that, so we come from that. Granted. But also, at the same time, you do have a point that trying to return to these sort of nice agrarian societal ideas have a problem. And that's why the Khmer Rouge come into play. They are technically communists. They also have some of your dangerous ideas in there too.
Okay. Do we have a question for the opposition? Look.
What does a prophet man be born if he suffers the loss of liberty? A lot of the dialectic, you might think, of this entire debate has focused very much on material goods, material wants, material benefits, and how things are taken away. The physical atrophy of people's bodies, and then the feeding of people who are starving on things. When I say liberty, I mean it in its real sense, in its deepest sense, is in your liberty to understand yourselves and others. So, with the explosion in the ideology of materialism, where people don't care about others, they care about things, where people treat people as things instead of people, that is the real evil of the Industrial Revolution. It's not, oh my god, we have some heating, wonderful. It's in how humanity treats one another. It's in how we do all these things. We don't actually see each other ever. as other people, even your neighbouring, in cities especially, where people hate the spies on the other end and walk down saying, "Ah, hi, are you? Hi, are you?"
What?
Why do you not understand that human nature requires a little bit of quiet, a little bit of silence, a little bit less that constant progress under the heel of your fat dog? Progress for progress's sake is against human nature. You even talked about the technology.
Okay, order please.
An incorrect understanding. Okay.
So, if we're to consider perhaps it from a spiritual perspective.
What would make you think that?
No, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and render unto God which is God.
So,
we
should
not kings? I believe this is the kind of the argument for government. The Industrial Revolution led to, in many cases, the sort of the streamlining in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church, a standardization of worship, the beginning of the Latin Mass, overall, the regional differences, the idea of Irish Christianity versus Roman Christianity came to change. That led in every case then to the Vatican Council, and then actually taking accountability also as a direct result of the Industrial Revolution, and then later on to the Second Vatican Council. If we were to look at it this way, the Industrial Revolution, by means of spreading education, allows people to consider religion and their spirituality and their peace on a level that they normally wouldn't continue to do without the informed view of the Gospels. They're not reading the Gospels because they're illiterate. They can't consider them. Even so, in terms of like slightly materialistic views of having the spaces to have this peace, many great cathedrals were built as a result of industrial wealth. Say, take St. Anne's here, or indeed, is St. Peter's, is the name of, is St. Peter's here? Yes, is it St. Peter's? St. Peter's were all built as a result of the newfound wealth in order to have a bond to their God, in order to have said peace, and indeed to teach and spread the word of the Lord.
Opposite, no proposition respond. Proposition respond.
Now, you're lucky to know that I'm not going to quote any weird texts.
Weird.
I'm not sure what you were going. But I do believe you actually brought up a good point. And it's that, yes, there was a streamlining of production. But equally, there was a streamlining of dehumanization. Going back to a lot of the points that the final speaker of the opposition was talking about, there was the, yes, colonialism existed beforehand, but we streamlined that process to the point that it was beyond anything that could have ever been conceived around the 1600s. We industrialized the process of colonialization, exploitation, and slavery to unprecedented levels. And as a result, that progress that he was talking about was dangerous, and honestly something that we should highly regret existed. And also beyond that, we streamlined the processes of war. Weapons became more deadly. People became grievous injuries. And as a result, led to numerous wars, especially within Germany and France, including the Franco-Prussian War, which, despite the fact the Great War isn't in the Industrial Revolution, the Franco-Prussian War, which was the direct cause beyond the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand for the First World War. So as a result, the Industrial Revolution, through its dehumanization of individuals and the dehumanization of just everything in general through the process and grinding of industry, is something that should be regretted by this house.
Do we have an abstaining question? Grant.
A lot of the debate is basically focused on, and not rightly so, because it's a grassroots, so it's a firm declaration of what if the Industrial Revolution didn't happen and what if. But a lot of, there wasn't really from the proposition, like a broader definition of what they see as the more positive aspects of the Industrial Revolution and kind of what was the essence of it that they disagreed with and found wrong. So many things we take for granted now are just direct products of that, and I think Sahar's made a good case for the fact that we can take progress and innovation and kind of put a bit of a restraint on it in a way, and we can mould it to our own ends if we choose to do so, and if the system chooses to do so. But so many of the concepts, like what is a worker? Like, if it wasn't for the end of the feudalistic kind of model of proprietorship and society, like, we wouldn't have moved to a situation where the even mere concept of a worker without industrialization as an autonomous person, then unit, individual, whatever you want to call it, that's just not because it's possible with the Industrial Revolution. So how do both sides reconcile the idea of so many modern concepts that we take for granted that we benefit from are a direct result of the Industrial Revolution, and how can you say that we shouldn't have that?
One person to respond. Proposition first.
I would raise the general. Sorry, you're having to hear about from me a lot, so I'm sorry. But I would say that realistically, we cannot restrict thought to a simple period of time. The long conception is that Galileo found the solar system and Renaissance thinkers found out that the world was flat, yet Egyptian scholars in the 80s figured out the world was curved and a globe through simple geometry. So I would reject the idea that these would only solely be found to have existed within the conditions in the Industrial Revolution. I believe that these sort of thought processes and these ideas would have come about no matter what. Maybe it would have taken longer, but they still would have come about. And these conversations were already being had in a feudalistic system. For example, restrictions of powers on feudal monarchs. Whether you agree that the Magna Carta did that, or whether through like the Hungarian agreements in that kingdom. But I would say I believe the proposition has outlined it very well, that it had detrimental impacts to the human condition and human health, and how we treated fellow like people in general, and that's what we want to regret as a proposition. But we would also wholeheartedly reject the idea that the innovations caused by the world created in the Industrial Revolution could only be solely contained within that revolution.
Opposition to respond?
Yeah, sure.
If I may.
You're taking notes, so you go ahead.
Yeah, no. I say, you know, this is sort of false equivalent, though, so if you would like to sign it, fine. The world is an open.
You sort of me!
I was just looking on the roof, don't worry, I'm not saying anything. It's too far. No, but it's a false equivalence, and then equate that to sort of arbitrary concepts of what is it that's right, you know, and what is a factory worker, what happens when you take people off, living off night to day, put them into different things, because you invent the concept of time, which happens during the Industrial Revolution.
The ability to use power to take people off the time happens during your Industrial Revolution.
Okay, order, listen, everyone.
Down your time.
Standardized time. So you can have factory, so you can do an 8-hour shift or whatever, or 12-hour shift or whatever. That's a consequence of the Industrial Revolution, is that? There's even treaties that happen
near the end of the Industrial Revolution?
Or just after, just standardized time across nations. Rather than living off 9-day cycles. So, slight false equivalent. And then, you know, talk about Magna Carta and stuff and sort of these ideas exist beforehand. Again, sort of the false equivalent, because Magna Carta and all the stuff that came before them was in a sense a lot of power politics between lords and between kings and rulers. Having a broader basis is really possible because of actualization within cities, and you know, that's why you start to see stuff in France, because you sort of have cities and
and then later on Germany in 1848 and stuff. Across Europe. So, you know, he's in a way now for the proposition thing. You know, again, fair enough if you're going to be paranoid about this, but it, you know, if you can recognize the fact that actually, you know, not all this is observable until we have the Industrial Revolution, and that it isn't that there are problems coming from the Industrial Revolution, it's overall to be a better thing for keeping people alive, giving people the chance to have more rights and stuff in the long run. That's where the opposition comes from, really.
Brilliant, and we'll move on to our vote of speaker ability. Now, this is not about which side you agree with. This is about who you thought spoke best tonight, who had the most convincing arguments. So if you think that the proposition spoke best tonight, please raise your hand now. If you think that the opposition spoke best tonight, please raise your hand now. Right. And if you would like to abstain, please raise your hand now.
I got three.
Okay. Mr. Secretary, can you please read out the vote on speaker ability?
So, on the question that was being debated tonight that I can't bother remembering, there were 16 votes for the proposition, 17 for the opposition, 3 abstentions, so again, by a famamicidatorial margin, well, genuine margin, the opposition has it.
To the opposition. Next week's debate is "This House Would Stop the Votes," which is a quote from Rishi Sunak, not me. And if you, could you, all speakers, please come to the front for a picture.
I'm like,